Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria." Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be." And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, "We come to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, "I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city." And one of his servants answered and said, "Let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see." They took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, "Go and see." And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. I'd like to dwell on this for just a little bit. You know, the first things that the prophet says here to the people is, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." I don't know of a better thing that I could say to you tonight than to hear ye the word of the Lord. To hear ye the word of the Lord is the best thing that I could say to you tonight. You know, this fountain that we started today has a great spiritual significance. It has to do with the fountain being opened in the house of David that all of the world might hear and see and understand. It's no little wonder that the news would want to pick it up on the first day that it starts. Because there is a great thing that is hid in the typical thing concerning the fountain. Jesus, all of his preaching was, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." You start in the book of Genesis, and the first thing that you find in the beginning was the word of the Lord. And then when you talk about people being healed and delivered, you find that the Bible said that God sent his word and healed them. You find people that have salvation. And you find that God's word came unto them, and Jesus said, "He that heareth my words and believeth on him that has sent me, he hath passed from death unto life." And so it is everywhere that you find a prophet, you find a preacher, you find somebody that loves Jesus, somebody that's telling the story of the Lord, they always go back to tell you to hear ye the word of the Lord. The thing that caused Pharaoh to be in such bad circumstances was that he refused to hear the word of the Lord. God sent his word unto Pharaoh, but Pharaoh would not listen to the word of God. The thing that got Herod in trouble was that God sent his word to Herod by the wise men, but Herod would not listen to the word of the Lord. And in every case where people do not listen to the word of God, there is always heartaches. There is always troubles. There is always complex of living, because people will not receive the unadulterated word of the Lord. We find here in this story, as the prophet Elisha came through the land, a great drought in the land, a great time of a famine in the land, and the people hungry and having nothing and couldn't find anything. And mothers, it had got so bad until they had taken their own children, and they had divided their children asunder and eat their children, dividing their children one with another. The famine was so great that they were killing their own little children and eating their children to keep from starving to death. Such a great famine in the land. You say, "Brother Pike, there's one thing about it. I'd never be so hungry that I'd kill my own little child and eat my own little child." But the Bible speaks of a time and a day where it says the people have sold their daughters and their sons for a glass of wine. I say, "I never would do that, Brother Pike." But some of you are selling your soul and your virtue and your son's soul and your son's life for the satisfaction of not even speaking the word of God. Afraid you'll hurt their feelings. Afraid you'll say something that they might not like. You are giving your son and your daughter to the devil because you don't have a backbone to stand up with the gospel. But let me tell you something. You say, "Brother Pike, I've told my son and daughter." The way that you tell your son and daughter or your family or your relatives or your friends, your enemies, the way that you tell them the gospel, they don't know any more when you get through than they did before you started. And besides that, you tell them one thing over here and compromise with them five things over here. You jump up at him, you say, "You got to do such and such and such," and for 3 solid months you let him do anyway. And don't say anything else to him about it. Until somebody gets on your case, as Brother Red says. But it takes standing up every day, 24 hours around the clock, against your sons and daughters, against your parents, against your friends, against your neighbors, against your enemies, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Until they take a bow and they do the thing that you're telling them to do. I believe that we've got to stand for the gospel. It's like my son David. He came out here a day or two ago. He had his t-shirt on. He got out. I said, "David, where's your shirt?" David come out with his shirt open. I say, "Your shirt's open, David." My little son Joe comes out of the house with his t-shirt. I say, "Joe, you forgot your shirt." Constantly reminding him, constantly telling him. And sometimes I have to use a paddle. That helps me out. Told Joe the other day, I said, "Get in there and get that shirt on and keep your shirt on, Joe." I said, "If you don't, I'm going to use the belt on you." Joe didn't believe it, so I used the belt on him. Him and Danny both. Now, but while I'm trying my best to stand for something up here and trying to keep a group of people to stand for something, you're letting your children act like the devil and dress any old way on the campground, and I'm getting the repercussions of it. But God is going to get you. Now you watch and see. When this prophet came through the land, the prophet Elisha, he told him, he said, "God has given me a revelation." That is, God has given me a message. God has revealed something to me. God has given me something, and he's told me to come over here and preach it.
He said, I know that there has been a drought in the land, and I know there's been a famine in the land, and I know there's been trouble in the land. But he said, God told me there's going to be a revival. The hungry is going to get revived. Somebody's appetites are going to get revived. God said there's going to be a revival. And one old hypocrite sitting over there leaning on the king's arm, the Bible said he looked over and said, oh, said, if God opened the windows of heaven, I could believe something like that. And Elisha perceived his spirit and turned around. He didn't say, you hypocrite. But he just as if to say, you hypocrite, God will send it, but you won't get to eat any of it. That's what he told him. He said, you doubted the word of God. I told you to hear ye the word of the Lord. Some of you people on this campground, I told you to hear ye the word of the Lord. But you won't hear the word of God. You're going to run your home like you want to. You're going to run your life like you want to. Like a man that walked through here the other day. One of the ushers told him, said, don't you know God will kill you for that? He said, I ain't afraid of nothing happening to me. But let me tell you, God's already showed me it's going to happen to him. Let's just watch and see if it happens to him. You can't fail God and deny God's word and not get a repercussion from it. I tell you to hear the word of God. This is the word of God that's coming from Bethlehem. Straighten your house out. The Bible said Moses was faithful in all of his house. Get your house clean. Snatch the dirty, filthy calendars off the wall. Get your sons out of the pitcher smoking and a huffing and a puffing and all the filth they got. Take it and put it in the garbage. I don't want it at little Bethlehem. I don't want it on the campground. And if you want it in your trailer, pull it off the campground. I've been into some of the trailers and I've seen some of the dirtiest, filthiest mess hanging on their walls and in books and different things. Get it out from here. God doesn't want it. I don't want it. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you sound like you're upset. I hope I do. I'm trying hard enough. Now then, Jesus turned over the money tables, popped the whip, sit on the outside and planted the whip so that he could pop it. He didn't have a temper fit. He knew what he was doing. Brothers and sisters, he sat out there and planted that whip because when he took one look inside of that sanctuary and he saw what it was, he knew that it needed a good cleansing and he intended to give it to it. And he stood outside and he planted him a whip and he took that whip and when he walked in the sanctuary, he meant business with it. And I'll tell you, people begin to scatter. I got a feeling if he walked into little Bethlehem that he'd do some house cleaning. You better believe he would. If he walked into your home, he'd do some house cleaning. You might give Brother Pike your excuses, and you might give the brotherhood your excuses, but God wouldn't have your excuses. The Bible said, let everyone that named the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. It's like one of the reporters today, the producer, he said something to me. He said, Brother Pike, said, I see that you're lenient, that you're willing to help other people, and you don't believe that you're the only people down here that's got anything. I said, that's right. I said, we help other people. I said, but we got one standard we hold up. I said, the Bible said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ Jesus depart from iniquity. I said, everyone that departs from iniquity, we're willing to help them. All right, so we're liberal here. But we believe in something and we stand for something down here. And that is godliness, holiness. All right, so this prophet Elisha came through and he said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Folks, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, I tell you to hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Jesus is the same. God is the same. He hasn't changed because we got this grace in the day that we're living in. We say God's different, but God will still make the earth open up and swallow you up. Did you know that? Did you know in the days of Moses, God opened the earth up and caused it to swallow the people? Somebody said, well, he doesn't do that today. Well, they put him in the graveyard every day. It opens up and swallows them by the millions all over the world. Did you know that? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ain't no difference. Peter and Paul spoke to some men back there and they didn't do right. And after a while, they wound them up in the earth, swallowed them up. So then the prophet Elisha stood there. And he said, there's going to be a revival. God's given me a message. God's given me a revelation. I want to tell it to you. And the Bible said, he said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Can you hear the word of the Lord tonight? Let them that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. What is the Spirit saying unto the church? What is the Spirit? It is the word of the Lord. For my words are spirit. Can you hear the word of the Lord? Can you hear what the Spirit's saying? Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'm trying to be spiritual. I'm trying to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You hypocrite. What you need to do is get God's word. That's what God is saying to the church. You're trying to get God to tell you that you're going to be some super-duper feller or some superwoman, and you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and you're listening for some vision or some revelation or something out here you'll never get. God's word is what you want to listen to. That's God's Spirit. That's what the Spirit is saying unto the church. It's God's word. That's why we hold to the fact that the Bible said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did you know out through the West, out in Los Angeles, I preached up and down the coasts of Los Angeles and down in Florida and different places. And they've got all kind of doctrines. They've got all kind of ideas. They've got all kind of things going. Many of them are doctrines of the devil. They believe all kind of things. And you talk to them, they say, I got a revelation. I got a leading from God. I've got a doctrine. I've got something that God gave me. But when you try it by the word, you find it's a doctrine of the devil and there ain't nothing to it as far as salvation. They've not heard what the Spirit said. What is it? It's a bunch of stubborn, rebellious, hard-headed people that won't listen to the minister, won't listen to the Word of God, and won't get in and go with anybody. They trouble everybody. They cause division. They always divide things up, always in their stubborn, rebellious way. Always doing something and pulling somebody off to themselves and cutting the body of Christ up and injecting their thoughts about what they think about it and what it ought to be and make a big mess out of it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You can hear me preaching in joy or hear me preaching, endure it. The Bible speaks of enduring sound doctrine, so if you can't enjoy it, then endure it. The main thing is it's sound doctrine. All right. So then when this prophet came through the land, it was a terrible time. See, people were eating their own children, their own flesh. Today you're eating your own flesh through your sinful, lustful appetites, through your greed for money and fame and popularity. You're swallowing up your own children. You're swallowing up that which God has given you. You're sending them off to schools. Many other people are sending children off to schools, and even the children don't want to go. But they've got to learn the trashy mess of today to please their parents. And they've got to get a little college so that their parents can stick their chest out and say, my son finished high school and got a little college. You spiritual hypocrite. God have mercy on your wicked, wretched soul. Anybody that would eat their little boy or girl up with such a filthy, dirty appetite so that they can say that my boy got an education. You need to get your son to God as quick as you can. And you need to get your dirty life straightened out as quick as you can. Somebody said, is that preaching, Brother Pike? This is good preaching. When we begin to understand that God isn't going to tolerate the things that's going on in the world, then, brothers and sisters, we're going to hear from heaven. When we realize the dirty mess that the world is in and their condition, and we rise up against it and we speak against it. And, brother, it begins at your own home. Don't you ever tell God that you're a minister if you can't clean up your own house. Don't you dare to name the name of Jesus Christ and tell folks that you're a Christian and you can't be faithful in that which God has committed to your trust. You shouldn't dare even tell anybody that you're a minister and let such filth and dirt go on in your homes the way that some of you do. I'm ashamed to be associated with you. Somebody said, I'll tell you, them folks that wear them long dresses and go around with that long hair, I don't want to be around them. I tell you what, I love them people, but I don't want to be around the dirt and the filth of them that's in the hog pen. I don't want to be around them that's got their dresses up above their knees, running around in pantsuit. I don't want to be around them men that's got their sleeves jerked out up here and their shirt open up down here, not a thing under it. I don't want to be around that kind of filth. Somebody call it filth, that's what it is. It's filth. The Bible said, cleanse yourself from all the filth of the flesh. That's filth in the sight of God. The Bible said, hating the garments that's spotted with sin, reaching down and pulling them out of the fire. So then hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hear the word of the Lord, the prophet said. He said, this is a sad time, folks. It's a time of drought. People are perishing to death, starving to death. Did you know there's a great drought over the land today and people are starving to death? They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need some help. They need some strength. They need somebody that'll come to them and tell them the word of the living God. Not come to them in powder and paint and knee-bop dresses and high heels and all these kind of things and stand there and try to tell them about our dead God to join some formal church. But the world needs somebody that'll tell them about God and tell them about the evils of this world here. Somebody say, Brother Parks, ain't nothing wrong with the world. The Bible said Jesus Christ gave himself that he might save us and deliver us from this present evil world. This present world is evil. And Jesus died that he might deliver me from this evil world. What is the world? All the fashions and frocks of it. All the educational systems of it. That's the world. It didn't say he gave himself to deliver me from the earth, did he? I drank the water of the earth. He didn't try to deliver me from drinking water. He didn't try to deliver me from sitting under a shade tree. He didn't come to die to deliver me so that I wouldn't eat a pear or an apple off of a fruit tree, did he? He came to deliver me from the filthy system of this world. The world is a system. And the Bible says this present one is an evil one, my brother and sister. Why do you want to be a part of it? Why do you want to educate your children to be a part of it? Why is it you want to resist the minister and be contrary to the minister, contrary to the things of life? Why do you want to do that? The prophet said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Said there's going to be a revival. God's got a revival. And the revival's coming just like God said it would. But he said, you hypocrites will stand at the door and see it. Won't go in. He said, and you won't eat a bite from God's table. Said, you can't eat from the table of devils and eat from the table of God. And he said, you stand at the door and you won't go in. Everybody else is coming, you hinder them. He said to this man that leaned over on the king, he told him, he said, you'll see it with your eyes, but said you won't eat any of it. And did you know that the king appointed him to be a doorkeeper, standing at the door? Appointed to be a doorkeeper. But brother, when that food began to come around, the Bible said the multitudes rushed. And when they rushed, they ran over the man and they killed the man and trampled the man to get to that food. Some of you hypocrites is going to get trampled to death in the rush. You watch and see. You're polished up and religious, running around a wolf in sheep clothing, but God's going to knock you slap out of the ring, so to speak. When that multitude sees the word of God and sees the food of God, they'll trample over you, hypocrites. It's coming. Jesus said, you hypocrite, why tempt thou me? They come over and they say, now look, Lord. Said, we want to get some of your godly advice. Said, we'd like to know something. You know, I have folks like that coming all the time. Brother Pike, would you tell me something? I think you hypocrite, I'm going to tell you. But when I get through, you're going to go and use it for your own evil, conniving way. You've got your own evil, conniving plan. And I know that you're a hypocrite to start with. But I'm still going to beg God for mercy and try to work with you. But he came over and he said, Jesus, would you tell us something? Jesus said, you hypocrite. Said, why do you tempt me like that? Why do you come over here to me like that, you hypocrite? But he answered a question, didn't he? And he said, well, we want to know, you know, about this, this little trap that we got set for you here. We'd like for you to explain a few things. We've got it all set and everything's just ready and we're going to trap you in your words. Who does this belong to anyway? Jesus said, well, let me see it. And they handed him the piece of money, and he looked at it and said, whose picture is this? They said, Caesar's. He said, well, render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar and the things that belong to God. And the Bible said they were dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say. They went away. They couldn't accuse him. Isn't that right? Why, there's a bunch of hypocrites trying to trap God in his word. I have a bunch of hypocrites coming in and out here all the time calling themselves brethren. And Paul said they are brethren. They're false brethren. They come here always asking me questions, trying to trap me in my words. Trying to get me to say something so they can go off over here somewhere and say something about it to somebody. Getting me to say something about somebody in another camp down here so they can run down there and tell them. They say, Brother Pike, isn't this the way it's going to be? Brother Pike, isn't this the way it's going to be? I think you hypocrite. You want me to say that's the way it's going to be. God knows that ain't the way it's going to be. But just as sure as I say anything, you'll come back and say, I know you said it, but it didn't happen. You hypocrite. I hope you understand my manner of speech. You say, well, it sounds to me like you call me a hypocrite. That's what I'm calling you, a hypocrite. That's what Jesus called him. Now, why don't you get in here with me and stop being a hypocrite? Clean up your house. The Bible said Moses was faithful in all of his house. Why do you want to trouble me? Clean up your house. Get right with God. Come in here and take hold of my arm and make this your home and make this your life and make this your desire and be an example for the flock and do something for Jesus. Instead of stumbling and staggering all the time and just being like a bunch of wild people and not doing anything for God. It's just a little while to camp meeting. Ain't far off now. And I ask you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, get in here with me. Help me to finish this up. We should have done been through with it, brethren. We shouldn't have lagged around and been lazy and shiftless and let things go like we've done. Let's get in here. Get in here and get the job done. To come out here to film this place to where they can have a testimony. Let me tell you something. If God put me here and God put you here and God intended to put this on TV and God intended to put this in the news and God intended to do something here. If God intended to do that and He put us here to get it ready and it's not ready, then something's wrong with you and I. And God's going to make us answer for it. If this thing is to go on the news or go on TV or wherever it's to go around the different parts of the world and we've half done the job here and God intended to take this and show it to people all around the country to show them how to live and what to do and what to say and what kind of people to be, He'll tear you up because you haven't worked and finished it. Now you say, I'm not part of it. Well, that's all right. I'm not talking to you. If you say you're not part of it, you say this ain't your church and you don't accept me as your pastor, and little Bethlehem's not your home and not your responsibility, I love you just the same. I have nothing to say except that you need to go somewhere and either get right with God or find your church or whatever needs be to save your soul. I have nothing to say to you. But them that say that they belong to this and that this is part of them and they're supposed to do it and they've given a life to it, I tell you in the name of Jesus, you need to do something and get here and get the job done, my brother. Stop putting off God's work for your personal desires and your personal ambition. Somebody say, Brother Pike, I've got so much to do at home. What about God's work? The Bible said every man run to his own house and let the house of God lay waste. What about God's house? Why don't you do God's work first? The Bible said the first thing that you're to do is come to God's house and you're to seek the kingdom of God first. You're supposed to fast and pray and study and seek God and help the poor and take care of God's house first. And then if you have any time, take care of your own things. If not, leave your own things go. You ain't going to be there long anyway. You're on your way to another land. But the thing to do is take care of God's work. And I ain't talking to a bunch of hypocrites that won't do nothing but make a mess on the campground and then get off and frolic up and down the road and say they're taking care of God's work and leaving everything undone back here to reproach us. I ain't talking to them either. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right. The newsman was here tonight. He'd get himself a story. He got himself one anyway today. I talked to him. Let me tell you something, children of God. We have a job to do. We've got a responsibility. What are we going to do? Are we going to spend our lives coming together here in a little group and sitting around finding fault and resenting and tearing to pieces and tying down? Are we going to do that? A man came to me a few days back and was telling me about the wrongs of somebody. I said, would you like to tell me what... For me to tell you what's wrong? He said, but sure. I said, you're to blame. Did you know that's where most of the trouble is? Did you know that's most of the trouble? You say, who's most of the trouble? You are. What should we do? Hear you the word of the Lord. We need to hear the word of God, folks. It's time that we woke up and got our minds out of the hog pens of the world and cleansed ourselves of the filth of the flesh and got on the firing line for God and mean business for the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? It's time we've done something for God. We're no more babies, but we're grown men and women. It's time we got our post of duty and stood up and done something for God. But you know what the problem is? You say, I got it figured out. You hypocrite, you ain't got nothing figured out. You're a troublemaker. Some people are dead and passed on, a number of them. I told them, I said, you're causing trouble, and some of you nothing but troublemakers. They're dead in their graves. See, some of you nothing but troublemakers. You're going to disgrace, tear down, find fault, do anything you can in public or any other place to tear down and to wreck everything that God's doing. But if you don't hear the word of God, God's going to tear you down. You may be a big bad fellow when you roar. Stick your fist in somebody's face, but you're not a big bad fellow when you roar at God. God will trim you up right quick. He'll cut your claws off and put you in a pen and let you stay there for the balance of your days trying to figure out how to get out. You might be flighty and you might fly the coop every once in a while, but after a while God will do you like my grandpa used to do. We had a little rooster that got too high and mighty, and a little hen that got too high and mighty and wanted to fly over the fence. Grandpa would clip his wings and he'd stay in there for a while. God will cut you down a notch or two. You say, well, Brother Pike, God will cut you down a notch or two. The Bible said that God, even thy God, hath elevated thee, that raised thee up and magnified thee above thy fellows because you love righteousness. He wants us to get into the heavenlies. He wants us to get in the heavenlies. You know why? Because he wants us to tell the hypocrites their evil ways and tell them what God's going to do to them. We're set here to bring judgment upon them that do evil. That's why we're here. Not to ask God to bring judgment, but we are here to bring judgment upon them that do evil. And to bind the sins of them that do evil and to cut them off and turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. That's my job. Every minister that's a true minister of God is what he's sent for. Now, I'm not talking about a bunch of boys that's got out of college and a bunch of show boys is trying to figure out how to get them a nest egg and get on TV. But I'm talking about the men of God that God has placed in the earth. They have the power of life and death within their hands. Now, if you that are children of God, and I'm talking to you that are children of God, you that are sons and daughters of God, I'm talking to you. I know that the others isn't going to hear me. I realize that. They're going to go to hell. It's my job to preach to them, though they will go to hell. So God will be justified in the day that he turns them into hell. But you that hear my voice, you'll follow me because you're my sheep. You'll go with me and you'll do the Father's will and you'll do the Father's service and you'll be about the Father's business because you're God's people. You'll follow me. As dear sheep, you'll follow me. Hear you the word of the Lord. Now I'm going to close in just a few minutes. I felt like exhorting you some tonight. But listen, brothers and sisters, that prophet said there's going to be a move of God in the land. I want you to know there's going to be a move of God. There's going to be a move of God in the land. Did you know that? There's going to be a move of God in the land. But you know what it's going to be? It's going to be the move of God's word. I will pour out of my spirit my word in the last days. It's going to be God's word. People are going to come to God's word. God's going to establish his word. You know, we've had such a bunch of wishy-washy people that call themselves Christians and charismatics and everything else till they've eliminated God's word and they got down and figured the thing out in their brain and in their head and they said, why, this thing is too hard for people and nobody could ever live up to that. God's merciful and compassionate and he's raised me up, so I'll tell these people they ain't got to do all them things. That God shed his blood for them and God loves them. And they don't have to do all them things. Ain't God's kingdom got in bad shape, folks, if that's right? See, now we're living in a day. You don't have to fulfill the word anymore. It's too hard. Why, you don't have to live holiness anymore. That's too hard. You don't have to preach the gospel anymore. That's too hard. We're living in that kind of day now, you know. Everything's easy. God's got to have mercy on him, Methodists and Baptists, Presbyterians and Pentecostals and Catholics. Sure. You got to have mercy on them. They can't live up to all of that. Preached one time, a fellow said, if I got to do all that, I sure won't make it. I said, you'll go to hell. You'll do it or go to hell. The Bible said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. God will rise up and shut the gate, and you'll go to hell. I said, well, you got in such a bad shape, they can't do all that, Brother Pike. And so then a bunch of showboys come through the land and a bunch of charismatics and they water it down and they break it down to where there ain't no requirements hardly. Just being religious. Brother, let me tell you, God's not in bad shape. God's kingdom's not in bad shape. God's people's not in bad shape and God's not watered the word down. God is going to bring to pass every word that he said in this book. Somebody's going to live up to this word. It'll be few of them that find it, but God's going to have a people. All the rest of them will be turned into hell.
Somebody no doubt said, Noah, you act like a fanatic. You work so feverishly and your boys work so hard and you do this and you do that. Everything has to be just so. Why don't you know God ain't like that? But brother, when the rain come, the hypocrite drowned it. And Noah kept with the word. God's word said, do it, Noah. When the rains began to come, the ark was ready and they stepped inside of the ark. And they went on with God and the hypocrites drowned it. And that's the way it is today. You can call yourself charismatic. You can call yourself a preacher. You can call yourself a divine healer. You can say you cast out devils. You can have big projects. You can do whatever you want to. But you're going to go to hell, my brother and sister. False brother and sister. You're going to go to hell. God has a kingdom. He has a word. And this word is going to be preached. And this word is going to be lived. And it's going to be just down to a T, just exactly like he said it. And the ones that don't live it will die and go to hell. So then I say, hear ye the word of the Lord and cleanse yourself from all of the filth of the flesh. Get up, be about your Father's business and do something for God, because he isn't going to make it light on you. He's going to make it light on me. He isn't going to make it light on anybody. He's going to change the word, alter the word, or anything else. You're going to live the word. I might say, well, that's why Jesus came down here, so we wouldn't have to live the word. That's a lie of the devil. He came down here to give us strength to live the word. Somebody said he came down here to take the law away. He didn't do it. He came down here to fulfill the law. The Bible said not one jot nor tittle will pass away. All shall be fulfilled. Have to live every last jot and tittle of it. Somebody said them standards is too high to me or for me. Well, you'll die and go to hell. That's all I got to say to you. All right. Stand with me. I say, I perceive you're talking about me. You got good perception. I am. Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all of you. I got to live right if I get to heaven, and you got to live right if you get to heaven. Somebody said, what's all this business about living right? Living according to the word, my brother and sister, that's living right. You're going to pay your bills. You're going to treat your fellow man right. You're going to do God's work. You're going to stand up according to holiness. You're going to walk upright and be clean and dress right, look right, honor and obey your husband. Wives and husbands, you're going to have to love your wives. You're going to have to obey your parents, children. You're going to have to reverence the house of God, folks. Or you're going to die and go into the lake of fire. There ain't no respected person with God. Say, well, I don't feel like you're doing it, Brother Pike. It's not a contest of that. The Bible said concerning the Pharisees, said you do what they tell you to do. You do what they tell you to do. I sent him to preach. Balaam probably went to hell. But nevertheless, he prophesied to the people, and God brought to pass just exactly like he said, because he was a prophet. The Bible said he was. You let God take care of his prophets. You let God take care of his ministers. You just do what you're told. You love Jesus. The Bible said, well, I don't like the way some of you people are doing. The Bible said, rebuke not an elder. If a man's an elder in the church, you got no business rebuking him to start with. You're out of your order to start with. Let me tell you, folks. Now listen. Some of you are not treating each other right. Now you're not treating each other right. Some of you are borrowing money from the brotherhood. And you're not making any effort to pay back. Now you know what you are when you do that. Now you hear me clearly. You are a wicked man or woman. You are a wicked man or woman. Because the Bible said the wicked borrow and won't pay back. If you borrow and won't pay back, you are a wicked person. I don't care how much you call yourself a preacher or a child of God or a sister or a brother. You are a wicked person. That's the Bible. You need to straighten your wicked, crooked life up. And you, that somebody borrows a dollar or two from because they don't do it just like you ought. You think they ought to do it? If you don't watch out, you'll be in the same condition they're in. Because you'll be fault-finding and accusing and letting a dollar cause your soul to go to hell. Whereas the Bible said, lend expecting nothing in return. So then you're in violation yourself. You shouldn't be expecting anything back to start with. You love Jesus? You say, well, Brother Pike, do you do that? I do exactly that to the best of my ability. I lend people money, I don't expect it back. Most of the time, you ain't going to get it back anyway. But I don't expect it back. I had a preacher to come through here. I lent him some money and told my wife, I said, forget about it. I think I lent him $100. I said, forget about it. And it's a good thing she did, because he never has reminded her any more of it. That's the way to do it. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me they're going to have my dollar and I got to forget about it? Lord, help me not to say what I'm about to say, you miserable hypocrite. A dollar eats at you like a cankerworm. You are a miserable, wretched hypocrite. You know, the Bible teaches that the last generation will be wretched and miserable and blind. Did you know that? You are wretched, miserable, and blind, and a hypocrite on the top of it. If you loved God, you would never let that bother you anymore. Somebody said, well, it ain't the money, it's the principle of it. It's not the principle of it, it's the money that's eating at you. You don't care about the principle. If you cared about the principle, you wouldn't have done somebody the way you did. Your principles prove that you're not concerned about the principle. You cheat, rob, steal, kill, lie. And I said, I ain't never killed anybody. The Bible said, I never sent you a wise man, but what, you didn't stone him to death? Murderous. See, if you cared anything about the principle, it'd be a different situation, but you don't. It's that dollar that's eating at you. And you say, Brother Pike, are you upholding the fact that somebody ought not to pay back? I just said, if they don't pay back, they're wicked. Isn't that right? Why do you expect the wicked to pay you back? You know they're wicked to start with. Somebody said, well, it's a brother. Well, what are you worrying about that for? If it's a brother, you get your money back. Still ain't no grounds for worry. See, it's a demon that's got a hold of you. That's what it is. If it's a brother, you don't have to worry. You get your money. And if it's a wicked hypocrite, there ain't no need you expecting your money anyway. You shouldn't expect it back anyway. You know better than that. When God gives the rain, does He expect it back? When He gives the sunshine, does He expect the wicked to give it back to Him? Now the righteous will restore it. They'll say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't that right? Somebody said, I think you're too strong tonight. Well, I ain't bad. Wait for Brother Mullis. He'll be here doing camp meeting. I think y'all heard him last camp meeting, didn't you? What I said is the truth. I believe it. I preached it. I stand on it. Because that's the way it is. Cleanse yourself up from all the evils of the world. Wash yourself, brethren, in the waters of life. Stop being evil. Stop, and you'll stop being miserable. Stop trying to rob and steal from your fellow man. And besides that, some of you are worse of thieves than that. Some of you rob God. You rob God, the Bible said, of His tithe. You rob Him of His offerings. And the Bible teaches you rob Him of your time that should be spent at the house of God. And time that should be given to help the widows and the orphans. Which reminds me, little Bethlehem has become a light. They've called on us from the welfare to help the poor. Whereas they don't have to call on us from the welfare to help the poor. We help the poor anyway. But they have people that needs help. And you people have rallied to it real good. And now God has given us another opportunity. The welfare is calling on us again. Said that the family that you helped before, that they're very grateful. And now the family's doing real good. They're on their feet. But now this other family, they've got an income that's due to come in pretty soon, but they don't have anything as of now, and they're really having a problem. And they've asked us if we would give them a helping hand. Whereas Sister Betty plans to do that tomorrow, the ladies usually really rally real good to things like that, and I just kind of leave it to them to look after that end of it. But don't forget now. You know, I hadn't thought about it preaching tonight, but tomorrow's Saturday, isn't it? That'd be a good sermon for Friday night, because we need some help tomorrow. Everybody gets mad and golf and pout with me all night, and then get sanctified by morning and come on out and give us a helping hand. All this kind of preaching isn't going to bother anybody but the hypocrites. It's not going to bother the sons and daughters of God. As a matter of fact, they just love it. I want you to come tomorrow and help me, folks, if you can. Some of you have to work on a job. Some of you are working on the job for the church. Some of you are... Sit down just for a minute. I'm sorry I've kept you standing so long. Forgive me. That's real reverence that you would stand there like that. God forgive me for my ignorance. But I appreciate you being so patient to stand there like that. But tomorrow is Saturday, and we need some help. And I know that some of you are working on the job. I know that you can't be here. And some of you have to work on a job for your own natural self because you took some of your time and given it to God during the week. And you got a chance to work a little on Saturday, and Brother Pike understands and God understands. And I don't feel bad at you if you're not here. But some of you fellas are just so lazy to lay around on the campground in different places. Some of you, I notice, it's been real lazy. You getting up and begin to be a man. I talked to somebody the other day, has really been lazy. But I'll tell you what, they're getting to be a real man. They're getting up and they're beginning to work and beginning to make a showing. And you folks that still just lazing around, whether on the campground or out there, come on over and save your soul. The Bible said, save yourself from this underworld generation. Come on over and save your soul. Put forth a little effort and get out here and help us. Help us get the sanctuary cleaned up. And don't be a hit and a miss. You know, I'd hate to have a car. You know, Ted, I'd hate to have a car just, you know, about 3 spark plugs off and a jumping and a hipping and a skipping. Just a hit and a miss all the time. Well, you hate to have something like that. That's the way it is with God. He hates to have somebody this Saturday, boy, they're just wound up and ready to go. On the next Saturday, you can't get them to move and do nothing. But he likes something just steady, you know, just steady, steady. So come on over and help us. Let's remember Wayne's daddy. I believe Wayne's daddy's got to leave or got to go to the hospital, have an operation and a leg taken off, isn't it, Wayne? Wayne's got to leave going up there pretty soon. I don't know just when, but I hope he'll remember to go by David Allen's over there and pick up that thing with the lettering on it while you're up there, Wayne. Bring it back down you and just tell David you're up there, you're saving a trip, but we'll still be looking for him camp meeting. And if you can bring it back to us, it would really, really be a blessing to us. And I wished that I knew for sure whether or not those fans was going to come Tuesday over here at Lowe's. And if I knew that they were not coming in, then I'd get you to go by and pick them up because they got to come from the Carolinas too. I guess we'll give them the benefit of the doubt till Tuesday anyway and see if they come in. Don't you love Jesus? I feel good. Somebody said, preacher, you ought to feel terrible. I feel wonderful. I feel good. Glory to God, I feel good, 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 as Brother Walker says. Hallelujah. You know when you deliver your soul, you feel good. You tell the people a bunch of lies and you don't feel good, but you tell them the truth, you feel good. And I feel good. I thank the Lord for his wonderful blessings. You say, well, you just wait till he lays the lash on you. Well, that's all right. I'm his son. If he wants to do it, that's all right. He ain't never given me too many. He ain't never given me none I didn't need. And I know he won't in the future. But I just thank the Lord because he's so wonderful. And I like his ways. I love his ways. Now, I'm going to say this to you and we're going to let you go. Some of you need to come to the men's meeting. You're not coming. You're not getting there on time. You need to make a little more effort to get there. I know that you got something to do, but God's got something to do too. And you should consider him before you consider you. How do you believe you ought to consider him before you consider you? Consider him. All right, seek his kingdom, seek his way, seek his favor, and God will add all the other things unto you. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'm going to get me a home. I'm going to get me a car. I'm going to get me some money. I'm going to do this. But you know what's going to happen? When you get it, God is going to take it away from you. If he doesn't take it away from you, he's going to take something that's so precious to your heart away from you that you'll hate the thing every time you look at it. When you realize that you neglected the glorious thing of God for some foolish thing. Seek God and let God make you rich and add no sorrow. That's the way to do it. Amen. All right, now don't forget, whoever is in authority, this line, we left this line running tonight through here. So that the fountain could run outside. But we're going to have to cut the fountain off because when you start in your vehicles up through here, you'll have to run over this line. And we're going to have to ask the authorities to unplug the fountain out there. I'll have to ask Atlee if he will to go out and unplug that fountain out there. Where is Atlee? Is he here? Oh, here he is, right here. Ask Atlee to go out and unplug the fountain. And who do you want? You want somebody to help you roll that wire up, Atlee? He'd get it by himself. Now, could I ask you a question just before I dismiss you? I know you wonder why I drank so much water, but I leak, see? I had to keep putting it in. Right now, how many of you will come over and give me a helping hand tomorrow? And when I say come, now you really go come and give me a helping hand. All right. Now, Philip raised his hand right quickly. I know that Philip's going to do it. He's been coming pretty regular. Every time he has a day off, he comes and helps me. But I want you to come and help me tomorrow, the ones that can. And look, folks, when you come over to do something tomorrow here. Don't let them come out here and film this place and it half finished when we could do something about it. Come over and give me a helping hand. Daryl's going to have some help putting up the rest of these metal supports. And let's get them things up. Let's get in and work and get our mind on what we're doing. And let's not fellowship tomorrow. Let's work. But we can fellowship a little later doing camp meeting. But let's get together and let's do something tomorrow. Come on out and help me. Get over here and do a little staining, do a little painting, do a little varnishing, do a little cleaning up out here, put up a little steel, or do something that will help me. There's just so many multiplied things that need to be done. And the ones that's going to be in the oversight tomorrow, whoever's going to be out here, when they come out here, put them to work. Get them right on the spot. Put them to work. Don't let them stand here 2 hours. Don't fellowship with them. Put them to work right then and there. And if you go around and see about them, don't go fellowship with them. Go around and see if they're on the job and let them work. I said, Brother Pike, you're going to come around and fellowship with them. I'm going to come around to see what's going on and try to keep moving if I can. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I try to do. Sometimes I have to answer somebody's question concerning godly things because I'm their pastor. And if they ask me things, then I have to try to answer it. But I try to get out of fellowshipping on Saturday if I possibly can. A lot of times they make it almost impossible because a bunch of people will come in, like this past Saturday, about 3 families come in at one time. And then I had to start fellowshipping. I couldn't get around it. I wanted to get around it. But the Lord didn't want it that way, so I had to do what God wanted me to do. And I said, well, God wants me to fellowship too. Well, if God wants you to fellowship, go somewhere in fellowship. Don't come out here, little Bethlehem, because he told me he wanted you to work out here. Now, I don't want to be confused. He told me that he wanted you to do something out here for his kingdom. So if you want to do something else, then go somewhere else, because me and you're not going to be together at all out here. If he's telling you one thing and me another thing, we're not going to get together at all. So you need to go somewhere else, because that's confusion. God don't talk two ways. And he told me to get the job done out here. And to win souls, and I need somebody that's going to help me do it. So if you don't feel that you're supposed to do it, like I said tonight, you go where you feel you're supposed to go. You love Jesus. Somebody says, well, I feel like you're trying to run me off. You're always trying to run me off. I ain't trying to run you off. What do you mean I'm trying to run you off? I ain't trying to run nobody off. I'm trying to run the devil off. If you and him buddies, you need to leave. If y'all are working together, I don't want you around here. But I'm not trying to run nobody off. I just don't want the devil around here. You say, well, you're talking about people. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity to God. I'm trying to get rid of the carnal mind. If you're carnal minded, then you got the devil in the wrong place. Did you know that? You say, what's the wrong place? In the house of God. You need to get out of here. You need to get with the crowd. That's his place out there. The Bible said Judas went to his place. You need to go to your place. And the house of God ain't your place. He was out of place with the disciples. All right, let's stand together. God bless you. I love you. And to you that are wonderful, precious, darling lambs and children of God, take courage because the Lord is with you and the Lord is on your side. And you hypocrites, you better run for your life because God's got his sword after you and he ain't going to stop till he tears you to pieces. He said, I'll pursue you till you perish from off the face of the earth. Not only is he after you, but me and all the brothers is after you and all the sisters is after you too. We're all after you. And as soon as God gives us leave in Revelation 19, we're going to cut your tree slap down to the ground. Amen. The blood will run up to the horse's bridle. All right. Getting ready for a good time. You love Jesus? Can we sing a little chorus together before we dismiss? Now everybody that feels there's somebody special, some kind of special mother, or some kind of special daddy, and they got some kind of special children, and their children and daughters or sons or whatever it is, wives or families, can run around on the campground half nude and in any kind of condition, say anything they want to, and act like a wild person. If you feel like you're some special person that God makes allowance for, I'd like for you to raise your hand, because I'd like to talk to you and find out what this is all about. And if you don't feel that way, then I want you to get in here with all the rest of us and abide by the rules and regulations and get your life and house straightened out and be like Moses and be faithful in all of your house. Because if you don't, God's going to cut your tree down now. I'm asking him to let me dig around it a little longer. I've asked him to let me dig around some of you. You might not think that's true. But on my knees before the living God, I've saw destruction and I've asked God, I said, Lord, let me dig around that person a little bit longer. Don't cut him down yet. Don't cut that woman down yet, Jesus. Let me dig just a little bit longer. Let me try to pray a little bit longer. Lord, there may be something good come out of it. Just like I had the Lord to check me the other day. I felt checked. I was going to talk to somebody about God, and I saw something bad coming for him. And I said, I'll just go to him and talk to him, and I was checked. And something said, let it go. Don't mess with it. It'll be a prick in your side. Don't mess with it now. The preparation of man's heart's from God. Leave it alone. So I just backed off and I left it alone. Now you don't want God to do that way to you, now do you? If God speaks to me about you, would you like for me to do that way to you? I'm talking about somebody at Bethlehem now. You know, every time I talk about somebody, I say, well, that's somebody across the hill over yonder. I'm talking about somebody at Bethlehem. You wouldn't want God to do that to me. Concerning you. I wouldn't want God to do it to you concerning me. If God told you something concerning me and you didn't come tell me, I feel like you was my enemy. Unless God did tell you. And if God told you to leave me alone, you better leave me alone, because God's wanting to pour his wrath on me. And if you mess with me, he'll pour it out on you and me. But I tell you what, listen at me. Hear the word of the Lord tonight, because we're carrying the word of the Lord. How do you believe that I'm carrying the word of the Lord? I'm carrying the word of the Lord, brothers and sisters. And I want you to hear the word of the Lord. I don't want you hurt. I don't want nothing to happen to you. But I want you to listen at me. Come to church with a good spirit. Stop this old thing. I got a number of you just got where you come every night with the same old contrary carnal mind. When you come in here carnally minded, you're an enemy of God. Time you come through them doors. You're supposed to come through with thanksgiving and come through with praise. If I ask you tonight to raise your hand if you come through with thanksgiving and praise, I wonder how many people would raise their hand tonight. You know you're hoping that I don't ask you to raise your hand, because you know you didn't enter in them doors like that. But before you ever come in the doors, you're supposed to check your heart. And you're supposed to come in with a heart of thanksgiving and praise. There ain't supposed to be no carnal resistance in you when I come in here. You're supposed to be surrendered and submitted and not reasoning at all, nor have anything carnal on your mind. You're supposed to be right in the Spirit. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Okay, let's sing this little chorus and we'll let you go. As I walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to that land up above. Sing it with me. Spreading cheer everywhere to the sad and the low. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with God's love. As I walk with that heavenly dove, then let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with